Good morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
We are trying to make you joyful, so that's why we give you short passages. Are you thankful? Short passages and long sermons. Are you thankful? So this is our Thanksgiving month, where we are trying to you to liquidate all your extra assets you don't need and pour it into the church coffers, whatever you want to do, opportunity for that. And we want to grow in this whole idea of Thanksgiving, which is obviously not only once a month. So that's the sad news. We would like you to be happy always. So we'll hopefully get there. So we're working our way up to that aspect. As we look at God's word. So last week we started very simple to rejoice, and I think Jabez already asked you. So in your outline, you'll see it's a fairly long outline, but I know that you can't concentrate very long, so I give you a fuller outline so you can go and read it at home. Really, it's an incredible thing, isn't it? Hope you, in this week, you have actually intentionally tried to rejoice. You did? Recall grace until grace actually captures your heart and settles your fears and your inadequacies and your hopes, and that makes you thankful to God. Not an easy thing to do in one sense, but simple, but not simplistic. So it is grace that actually enables us to have a relationship with God in the first place, isn't it? And that's why, although I don't think you could do any one of these three separately, these three little commands, rejoice, always pray, continually, and give thanks, they are very much intertwined, and you can't do the one really without the other one. It's not going to work. You can, I guess, start anywhere among the three. I don't really think it matters. But it is interesting that grace is the thing that combines all of them. And as you rejoice in what God has done for you, before you try and step into the day to do something, that changes one's expectation, I guess, of yourself and even of God. And so as you do that, which is a constant thing, as you grow in rejoicing at every moment, the other thing to do, as he tells us here, is to pray continually. So I've got there on your outline. So as you're resting in this reality, this truth, that goodness, this hope, the power of God's grace in Christ Jesus, the other thing to do is without leaving any unnecessary gaps in regards to time and people and issues, pray. So the word continually literally means do not leave unnecessary gaps. That's what the word actually means. It's interesting. Make sure that there are not too long periods where there's gaps, where you are not engaging and allowing grace to influence you. It's interesting. So rejoice every moment. And then he says, well, at every moment, this is the thing you should be doing. Don't leave too long gaps. Actually pray. And we know, hopefully by now, that prayer really simply means is to make a wish. The actual word is to exchange a wish. The word used for generally in scripture is to wish. It's to communicate something you long for, something you wish, really. That's what the word means. So it's a very common thing. Everybody prays, but not everybody understands that they're praying. Even atheists pray. They wish there weren't any Christians. You know, and they will they will make it known. So any wish that you express really is a prayer. So some of you are praying more than what you are thinking you are praying. And some of you don't realize that you're praying when you're making wishes. But the interesting thing is it's not you doing the wishing. The interesting thing is to whom you are expressing the wish. That is, for us as Christians, the issue. So then your outline, one's prayer and one's concept of prayer can rise no higher than one's concept of God. So how you see and understand God and who you think you're talking to obviously affects the wish you make, isn't it? I mean, there's no point in me wishing to my children that I have a better wife. I mean, they can't do anything about it. So I've got to go to my wife if I wish her to be a better wife, isn't it? I've got to express, I desire something from you. The person whom I address is the one who affects what I'm wishing for. So that's quite an important thing to get into our heads. We are making wishes all the time, I guess, but we're doing it unconsciously. Scripture's teaching us we should do this consciously and knowing who we are talking to. Who are we expressing our wishes to? It is, as we are seeing here, reference to God and to Jesus Christ. That's who we are talking to. So, I mean, again, I don't want to get into all the details, but you will note that how people pray in different religions reflects the nature of the God that they pray to. So if you're a Buddhist, you put up a flag and it does this in the wind. Every time it fluctuates, it sends up a prayer to the non-existent God that's going to respond. You don't have to say anything in Buddhism, you just move. That's their understanding of their God, is that he is nothing. And so you express your nothingness to him and you'll feel better about it. And some people feel better about it when they express their nothingness. If you're a Hindu, you will have millions of gods that you have to bring food to and you need to bow down and you need to do your stuff to them. They are very hungry and you need to feed them. And so you've got little shrines all over India where people are bringing food and bowing down to this God that they're expressing their wishes to. So the understanding of the God that you're talking to affects how you talk to him. And that goes for us too, isn't it? Your Christian perspective on God affects what you pray. Is God angry? Is he uncaring? Is he a policeman? Is he a father? Is he good? Is he gracious? Is he truthful? See, your understanding of who you're making the wish to affects how you do it. I mean, it's quite important for us. So it's good to catch yourself. What are you saying to God? Because what you are asking him and what you are praying and wishing is what you think he is like. So sometimes you've got to know who he's like and make sure you express it to that person. Other times, sometimes just know, I've been wishing something in my head. Who am I talking to? Is this the kind of prayer I can ask the God that I really know is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit? It's interesting. So sometimes you've got to change, correct your prayers. Fascinating, isn't it? So we have to keep on growing because in different moments, I have a different view of God. Are you like me? I battle sometimes to have a constant, good, perfectly shaped understanding of God because the Bible is fairly thick and I can't remember everything every moment. And my emotions and my desires and my fears and my background and my experiences influences what I think of God at that moment, and then I express my prayers to him. And sometimes I can get frustrated because it feels like he's not listening, but probably because I'm not really talking to him. I'm talking to the picture in my head. I'm not actually addressing my Father. You know what I'm saying? So this little command is very simple, but not simplistic. Make sure that when you have joy in grace, funny enough, that opens the door to have a relationship in the first place. The only way you're ever going to have a relationship with God is based on grace. If it's based on your performance that you did well yesterday, then the relationship is going to be very shaky, isn't it? So grace, funny enough, gives assurance that I can talk to him in the first place. That he is interested in what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm hoping, what I'm desiring. Grace says from his side, I want you to be in relationship with me. Come. You are free to come. Based on my performance in my son, not your performance yesterday or just now or lack of performance. So it's interesting. Often our prayers are a reflection of how we see our relationship with God. If it's going well, we may be very happy and talk to God easy. If it's not going so well and we've really stuffed up, then we're not going to talk so easily, because actually our relationship is based on our experience and our performance instead of on His grace. So that's why it's good to recall grace before you pray. You see how it works? It's not a prerequisite, but it's helpful to understand that. So He's just saying to these guys, in life, you are living life. You are living in a difficult world, a world where you are not accepted. What you believe is foreign. You are being rejected, persecuted. You have to fight inner desires and issues. You've got issues with one another. So remember, in all of this, grace. Rejoice in it. And then speak in the light of grace to God. And do not leave too long gaps between grace and speaking. But you'll find it isn't. If your heart is excited and thankful in the Lord, you can't help yourself but talk to Him. If it's not, it's not so easy to talk to Him. If grace is not the foundation, you don't want to talk to Him. You want to move around and do other things. If your grace is the foundation, talking to Him is one of the great joys to actually do that. So yeah, it's a very simple explanation. Christian prayer is the humble, because He's God and you're not. Personal, because God is personal and you're a person. Intentional. That's probably the difficult one. To intentionally pray, not to just make wishes like a fountain that just sprouts. Know what you are saying, who you're talking to with God. And that's addressing the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we do it by faith as we wait in grace for His glory. So there's the big context in the scriptures of prayer, really. Quite simple in one sense. Grace establishes the relationship. Grace is the foundation of the relationship. Grace is the reason why you can talk to Him. And grace is the reason why God has invited you to talk to Him. Because He actually wants to change you and to bring you ever increasingly into a relationship with Himself. So grace makes everything certain. That's what's so weird. The grace of God makes everything about your relationship with Him certain, because it's based on His performance, not on yours. So are you praying? In one sense. So the God of grace is the person you will want to exchange wishes with. So that's really meaning to wish things is not just to wish, but to actually engage with the wish. You are prepared to exchange those things. Not just change them, but share them. That's really what the word is after. And God of grace is the one you want to exchange your wishes with every moment as they happen. For He is gracious. And I've just been saying it over and over and over again. His grace says, come and talk to me how you feel about things right now while you're sitting here. Hope it's short. Tell Him. I'm not going to listen, but He may listen. Talk to Him where you are right now, based on grace. You can engage with Him. What I want versus what do you want? What I value versus what you value. Maybe it's not in conflict. Maybe they're the same. And we'll see that just now. So grace is the reason why we can come to Him. Grace is the reason why we can ask that He will release grace into my life and into the lives of those around me. Please, Lord, do not treat me according to what I deserve. Treat me according to Your grace. And Lord, while I'm sitting with this congregation, please don't treat them according to what they deserve. Treat them according to Your grace. See how interesting it is? Suddenly you become much more beautiful. When I pray that God will treat you with grace and that I will look at you through the eyes of grace. So now I'm not holding you to your performance. I'm holding you and want to remind you of Christ's performance. Suddenly, my relationship to you changes. Because I'm not looking at you and thinking, gee, I wonder if you're performing. I'm saying, Lord, help me. Because You are changing the world now in this time in by grace. That's what You're doing. Grace is the operative reality. Grace assumes truth. Did you know that? Grace means I need to be gracious to you because the truth is you aren't like you should be. And so when we come in grace, we actually are already set up to deal with truth. Because we know none of us deserve what we have. It has been given to us as a gift. And on top of that, Christ died for where we have failed. So you can see how important this is. You really want to learn to express your wishes with this God of grace. Because he will graciously also change your understanding and expectations so that he does not have to treat you according to what you deserve because of what his son has done. So if the God of grace is the person with whom you want to exchange wishes, then express your wishes to him in words and your emotions with the following kinds of expectations of being heard. Have you ever prayed and not being heard? I have prayed and then told God that I don't think he's going to listen to me. Have you done that? We're weird, eh? Lord, please. Ah, you're not going to do it in any case. He's not now. Okay. Have you done that? You are so good. I don't see no nods. I just see smiles and pity coming from you. I'm not going to bare my heart to you guys anymore. I have often told God, I feel like you are not going to answer this, so I don't know why I should ask you. So I hope God is gracious with me when I pray like that, which he is. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm not dead and in hell. I know God is gracious. How do you know God is gracious? You're still here. He has not given you what you deserve. He's had grace on you. You may not know him. You may not believe in him, but he's still gracious to you. That's what, yeah. That's good news, isn't it? So you go to him with words and with emotions. And you expect to be heard. You also expect to have joyful fellowship with him. There are times when everything just connects, isn't it? You just kind of, everything just comes together. Your heart and your soul and your mind and your whole body is just excited. And you're having this talk to God about life. And it's good. And then life happens. You also go there expecting that your ideas may be confirmed, may be changed, may be delayed, may be denied, may be bettered. And it's all based on his grace. Do you know that kind of a relationship with God? Has he changed your mind as you prayed? Lord, really, give me strength in this. No, Lord, no, no, not strength. Because if you give me strength now, I'm going to clappy myself. Give me patience. No, I've just changed. God has changed my mind as I'm praying. It's good news, isn't it? You can actually be truly honest with God at where you are at that moment. And come with absolute confidence in his grace. Isn't that amazing? No wonder he tells us to keep on praying. So he betters it, he delays it. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes you ask God things that is stupid to ask. Because God can't answer that prayer. Please, Lord, make a square circle. Because somehow I don't feel like I fit and I'm square and the thing is round. Won't you make me please? God says, I can't answer that prayer. You're asking an logical impossibility. So we sometimes do that in our prayers, and that's okay. God doesn't say don't do it. Just keep on working at it. That's why he tells us, I guess, to keep on praying. So it means literally to interact with God, to exchange my human wishes and will for his wishes and will. For the what is appropriate for that moment according to his grace and his truth in Christ Jesus. Sometimes, and I've given there a couple of ideas. Now, that's not all of them. You've got to go and fill it out. I should have put dot, dot, dot. There are times when I pray when I agree with God. I've just said that. There are times when I agree with God, but I don't want to do what he says. Be nice to the congregation this morning. There are times when I don't agree with God. Seriously, must I forgive this person again? Are you for real? Do you really want me to forgive them? Again, for the same thing. There are times when I don't agree with God, but I know he's right, like that one. And there are times that I've got no idea where to pray. I'm overwhelmed by life. The Bible keeps on assuming and telling us outright that we are out of sync with ourselves. Our hearts and our souls, our desires for life, and our minds, our ability to think and calculate, and our behavior is not in line with one another. We have dissonance, to use that language. And the Bible knows that. And it's good that we can go to Him and say, Lord, please line me up rightly. Realign me. You know, God's like a chiropractor. He's going to shake you and get everything in line again. That my heart and what I value is what my soul longs for, is what my mind can calculate and work out, and that I will do. And that's a constant reality, isn't it? It's a fantastic thing. God wants to keep on bringing me into line with His grace and truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And that's a massive thing to do that. And He says, as you express yourself to me, and we are engaging in this exchange, that's how I change you. That's good news, isn't it? Do you want to change? You like yourself? You get up in the morning, you look at that person in the mirror, and you say, yes, always wanted to be like that. Yes. See how amazing this command is. It's a command that is so free. Actually, I think we just don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. He says, leave no gap between yourself and the moment, and yourself and the person you're dealing with, and yourself and the situation. Don't leave a gap there. Engage with me about where you are in that moment. And it's all based on grace. Grace will actually lead you home. Do you find that? Sometimes I do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Sometimes I do the wrong thing for the right reasons. I'm pretty messed up. And God says, as you talk your reality through with me in grace, I change you and make you aware more and more, and then I forgive you, and my grace empowers you to accept that forgiveness in Christ, to rest in it, and to be transformed by it. As you look at people, as you look at yourself, wherever you go, He's actually inviting you to do that. That's what He's saying, isn't it? You want to talk to your Father? He knows everything in any case, doesn't he? You can't hide from Him. But funny enough, He wants you to intentionally come and talk to Him. He cannot change you if you are not prepared to talk to Him. Have you ever tried to change your teenage children? And it worked well when they don't want to talk? Impossible. If you can't say what you think and hope and desire, then how on earth can God correct you by His grace? So you are free to talk to Him. No matter what state you find yourself in. So if I'm sad, I can talk to God. If I'm happy, I can talk to God. If I'm overwhelmed, I can talk to God. If I'm ecstatic, I can talk to God. If I'm frustrated, I can talk to God. If I'm angry, I can talk to God. If I'm anxious, I can talk to God. I mean, literally, there is no moment that you don't have to talk. You can talk to Him. Knowing that I'm talking to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is gracious and is inviting me to a conversation which may not be solved by one discussion. Have you ever solved anything in your marriage with one discussion? Very seldom. Somehow we think if I ask God once, it must now just be done. God says, no, this is a relationship that I have with you. Come and talk with me. So the joke is, don't just stand there, neither just do something, pray. God is at least relational. You know what? God is like a mother. The scriptures tells us. You know what a mother is like? She wants to discuss everything with you. She wants to know everything about you. She asks the most ridiculous questions at the worst times. I mean, the stormers never score a try. But it's at that moment when they score a try that they want to know something about it. Can you believe it? I mean, that's how God is. He wants, in one sense, a running commentary from you engaging with Him based on His grace, so that He may transform you into the image of His Son. You will never bother Him. A mum's never bothered by her children talking. And, God is like a female in that sense. Like a mother hen wanting to gather her children under his wings, it says. It's exactly what he's like. And he wants you to want to engage with him so that you may participate in change, not only for yourself but for others. So how do we grow in prayer? Maybe just three quick points. God's will is that all of life is to be prayed, not just lived. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? Lord, I'm going to work today, and Lord, I think I'm going to find some difficult people that I need to talk today. And I may have to have some complicated conversations with some difficult people that I wouldn't like to talk about. But since you are my Father and I'm walking with you, won't you help me to come to that with a sense of grace? And won't you give me words seasoned with grace so that I may open up the discussion and try and help as far as I possibly can? Because I know obviously I'm right and they're wrong. See how it works? Whatever it is, you can talk to him about it. All of life is to be prayed, not just lived. Now, I've said it already. We all have a past. And your past influences your present. None of us are without a past. But you know what's good about God? He was there when it happened. And this is the wonderful thing about grace. With grace, you can go and you can identify that my upsetness now has got something to do with my past. And you can say to God, since you are always there, maybe you want to remind me what happened there. Because you know everything, don't you? I mean, my Father knows everything. He knows exactly what happened there. And he knows how I responded there. And he knows how I interpreted that event. And he knows what I've decided how I will live because of that painful event or good event or whatever event it may be. And I can say, Father, you were there. And your grace is so powerful. It can actually change that. Because you can forgive me if I've done wrong. You can heal my broken heart if somebody has stepped all over me. You can free me from that experience. So please give me the truth that I needed to know at that point, which I didn't know I needed, but I now know I need it. So please give it to me. See how powerful grace is. Grace deals with the past and the future and the present. All of life is to be prayed, not to be lived. Make sense? Don't you think that's the most incredible thing? You can literally, any thought that comes to mind, any past experience, you can capture and say, Lord Jesus, you are God always, everywhere. Now, this thing, I don't know if it upsets me, but it does. It seems like it upsets me. Please take me back where this happened the first time. What did I feel? What did I experience? Plans that I make so that no one will ever hurt me again. Because I've bound myself to a lie. Forgive me. Change me. Give me the truth that I needed to know at that stage, which I didn't have because I didn't know you. And set me free. We've got lots of praying to do, isn't it? Lord, when I look into the future, I'm terrified of what's coming. Maybe that's how you mean. My favorite cartoon, Peanuts. Lucy says to Charlie, some people put their deck chair in such a way that they can look into the past because they want to know where they've come from. And other people put their deck chairs in such a way they want to see where the future is because they want to know where they're going. So where's your deck chair? Charlie says, I've never been able to get mine unfolded. Is that how you feel sometimes? I can't even get the flippin' thing unfolded. I'm oscillating between the past and the future and the present. And God says, come to me and bring your wishes and thoughts and perspectives and desires and issues and lay them at my feet. Invite me into this relationship that I've established by my grace. And let's talk it through so that I may set you free. So that I may forgive you. So that I may open your eyes so you may see how good I am. This is a good command, isn't it? God commands us to do what is good for us. Pray without leaving too long unnecessary gaps. All of life can be prayed. You can pray through your entire life. Amazing, isn't it? And unlike other people who remember the past different from you, and they feel they're right and you feel you're right, God actually knows. That's why you want to talk to him, rather than to people per se. So, you're excited. You're ready to go and pray. And then pray the prayers of the scriptures. So if you are a bit confused, very good thing to do is go to the New Testament. Paul loves to do it. Almost every single letter of Paul has got a prayer in. So pray that prayer. See what he's praying for. If you don't know what to pray, well, go and just have a look. He tells you often what to pray. Very helpful. Just get your mind going and thinking. So go and read all Paul's letters. They've got prayers, and some have got two, some have got three, some have got one. Learn to pray the prayers specifically. You can do the Old Testament one. There's some long ones. You can do the entire Psalm 150. That's also prayers. Set to music. You see what I'm saying? There's lots of things that you can learn how to pray. And the Psalms are great because they are real. Sometimes the psalmist is in the heavens and he wants to jump over walls with his God. And other times he's in the absolute dungeons and he says to God, you have forsaken me and I'm a worm and you are squashing me. Help me to think this through. So there's lots of things to pray for. If you don't know what to pray, maybe start with Psalm 1 and just start working it through. Or be different and work it backwards. You know, do whatever you like. There's lots of things. And then, as we said, pray scripture as you read it. Now, I just want to show you this. So if your Bible's open, and we're going to finish with this. Just the final instructions of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. It says, then now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Interesting command, isn't it? Very difficult passage for me to preach on. Is that the default of your heart? To view those who teach you like that. If it is, praise the Lord. If it isn't, ask him to change your heart by his grace. See how weird is it? You can spend a lot of time just praying that. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Interesting. Lord, I need your grace to hold that guy that shouts at me from the front in the highest regard. I agree. Fully. Weird, isn't it? Live in peace with each other. You need God's grace to live at peace with everybody else. You've got to ask yourself, is there anybody in this congregation you don't want to sit around and have a meal with? You've got some serious prayer work to be done. If there's in your heart a resistance, then you have to ask God to change your heart. Because that's what he's called you to. See what I'm saying? Pray the scriptures. I need grace to do that. And the more you know people, the more grace you need, isn't it? Isn't that why marriage is more difficult than church? And church is more difficult than world? The more you know people, the more you need to forgive them. The more you need to engage with God to change your heart so that you will actually love them. Because you know how often they are wrong. You see it. You experience it. You suffer the consequences of it. See how amazing the grace is? There's lots of work, isn't it? Now listen to this. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. You need grace to speak to somebody if you think they are sitting around doing nothing. And you know how much grace you need to be told that. Lots of prayer. Just in this passage. And those who are disruptive. Any disruptive ones here? Hands up. We'll pray for you. Now, I'll pray for me that I will be able to handle your disruptiveness. See how weird it is? And I'll pray that you will become aware how disruptive you are and you'll become less disruptive. Grace is needed. Because it's about me and you, we're going to have a fight. And it's not going to be about the Lord. It's going to be the fact that I think I'm right and you think you're right. I need grace. Encourage one another. Just think about it. Now, JP's been saying it, and we are trying to get the whole congregation to lead the whole congregation next week. Okay, we'll try, see how it goes. Just think about yourself. Have you come to church to encourage someone? Did you plan it? Did you think about it? Did you pray about it? That's what it says you should be doing. Now, I don't want to make you feel guilty. I want to make you to repent and say, Lord, give me the attitude to come wherever there's another Christian. I'm there to encourage. I'm like a spring. I'm compressed by your grace. And the moment the situation comes, I release. Now think about that. You need to talk to God quite a bit to be in that space to actually have an inclination to do that in the first place. Never mind doing it. Encourage one another. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. How's your patience levels? They said they will do it and they haven't done it. You know, some people you just cannot trust. So we'll just kind of smile at them and cut them out. You need grace not to do what is natural for you to do when someone steps on your bunions. Or not fulfill your expectation of what a church should be like. So many people say, oh, the church is like this, I'm leaving. That's a massive contradiction in terms. The church isn't like Jesus, so let's pray in grace that I will be more like Jesus and can encourage you to be more like Jesus. That's a weird, wacko response. Who wants to respond like that? You want to walk on your long nose out the door. I don't want to associate with those people. You need grace. Friends, we need to talk to our Father based on grace about everything that's going on in us. Isn't it good news? Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Lord Jesus, I need grace to even think that I want to be like that. Don't you? You think you can tick that one? Lord Jesus, make me the kind of person that no matter who I bump into, I'm full of grace that works towards goodness because of your grace to me, not because they deserve it, because I don't deserve it. I want to suggest to her this morning, I think we need to pray in the context of grace more. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are completely different from us. You are grace incarnate. And you always come with grace that leads to truth, that leads us back to grace. Lord, we really realize that most likely our prayers are so weak because our rejoicing about grace is so weak. So as we come to this month of Thanksgiving, which should be our daily Thanksgiving, Lord, we recognize and we thank you that we could stop at, in one sense, these very, very simple commands. They are not intellectually challenging. They are not difficult to comprehend. They don't have hidden meanings. But they're massive stuff. And nothing is unaffected by these simple commands. And so we thank you for that. Thank you that you know that we are not anywhere near where we ought to be. We are sinners. We have missed the mark. And yet you give us today your word and your encouragement and your son. And you say your will for us is to come to you based on grace, to receive grace, so that we may give grace. Lord, we really need your help. We really need one another. We are so thankful that we can admit to you how much we need you. And we are so thankful that you are more than able and willing to receive us and to mold us and to cut us back to shape and to strengthen us and to remind us that from beginning to end, it is all about you and your grace. So won't you strengthen our faith in your heart towards us in Christ Jesus, to the point where we actually deal with whatever we are aware of going on and through us, so that we may lay it at your feet increasingly, so, Lord, that you may be gracious to us. So thank you that you're telling us that we must come and ask you for grace so that you could be gracious to us, because you are the one who is always gracious. Forgive us for undermining our own joy when we don't realize that every single command that you give in the scriptures is because it is your grace at work. So Lord, we praise you and we thank you for who you are. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.